The thing about supply and demand is that barring some black swan event, it will happen. We see it. It's not a projection on, oh, will the someone get elected and then will the winds blow in our favor or some sort of up to chance mechanism. You have to get a permit to build, and those permits are public information. And so you can see how many permits are being applied for and how many are being received, and what is the pipeline of new construction? You can see it.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk-takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and your by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of welcoming back a really good friend of mine and a good friend of the pod, Mr. Joe Fairless. Now, Joe, for those people who don't know who he is, he has built a company called Ashcroft Capital with over $2.8 billion of assets under management. And he's also responsible for all the equity raising at Ashcroft Capital. And besides that, he also has a freaking fantastic conference called the Best Ever Conference, which is hosted once a year. I believe it's still in Utah, and it comes up sort of roughly around the springtime, early spring, late winter. So if you have never been, definitely check that out. And he's just an all-round good bloke. You know, I've known him for, well over a decade now, and done a bunch of deals with him in the past, and he's just a thought leader and a great guy, down to earth. And I'm really pumped to welcome him back to the show. He's been on the show many times before, so if you don't know his story, please go back and listen to it over and over again, and or just Google his goddamn name, because he is everywhere. But enough out of me. Let's get him out here. Welcome back to the show, my good friend, Mr. Joe Fairless. How are you doing today, mate?
Hey, doing well. Looking forward to our conversation, Reid.
We had you on the show, and I'm not going to go into the background. Everyone knows who you are, and if they don't know, go listen to those former episodes. But we had you on the show probably 6 or 7 months ago, and we're talking a little bit about the shift in where, you know, things have happened in the last, call it 10 years, right? And if we take a step back, you and I first met each other, I think back in 2013 or back when things
maybe
changed. Early, right? And when you think about what changed back then, and probably what we have both experienced, is the Jobs Act change, right? And people could then invest directly into people's deals, and that helped spur the syndication space and all that good stuff. We've had a really fantastic run, but we've now seen a very, very historical shift in interest rates, which has caused, let's call it, pain in the market, right? And so you're seeing it as a very good opportunity, buying opportunity, because we spoke about it offline. But do you want to talk a little bit about how Ashcroft is positioning themselves right now to really go out and take opportunity of what has been, what we're seeing in today's market? And we'll unpack that more. I know we're just diving straight into it for the listeners, but you and I are pretty advanced in how we talk. So we want to keep, you know, if you ain't keeping up, you know,
go listen somewhere else.
So, but let's start with how Ashcroft is shifting or looking at different data in the market to point where you're starting to acquire new deals. Because I do know you have a couple of deals under the belt right now.
Let's give some context for what has happened. So we know about the great financial crisis, 2008, 2009. We know that during that time, there was no new construction, there was no lending. And then as a result of no new construction, no lending, there were no new apartments that were started. And what happened after that period of time? Well, cap rates started compressing, and the rents went up, and it was open season for having a wonderful time in apartment investing. And that is from, you know, about 2012 to call it, you know, 2021 or so. And then the interest rates. Well, I'll talk about the interest rates in a moment, but from 2012 to 2022, there were over 3 million more new households formed than apartments completed. And so we're coming into 2012 at a deficit. And then over the next 10 years, there's even more of a deficit as a result of more households and just construction not being able to keep up with new households forming. And then, so apartment investing is doing really well. Things are great. And then interest rates rise unexpectedly by most, myself included, though to which degree that they rose. And that essentially froze the capital markets. And it's tough to get financing, not impossible like 2008, but really tough to get financing. Rate caps shot through the roof. The transaction volume plummeted with, you know, trading apartment communities, because the owners of the apartment communities like, well, we got a pretty good asset. It's performing. We have a capital markets problem, some of them, but we can try and solve that because we see the writing on the wall. We see what's coming. And here's what's coming. We are about to experience, barring some black swan event, we are about to experience a severe undersupply of apartments starting in about 12 months. Right now, if you read the, you know, any most publications, you'll read something to the effect of tons of apartments are being brought into the market, are being completed, tons of them. And let's quantify that. Through the first half of this year, there are 284,000 apartments that were completed. First half of this year, 284,000. So what does that mean? Give me some context here. So for context, since 2000, the year 2000, the average for the full calendar year for completed apartments is 217,000. So for the full calendar year, 217,000 apartments completed. For this first half of this year, 284,000 apartments completed. So clearly, apartments are currently flooding the market. But here's what's interesting. The average occupancy rate nationally, 94.2%. And that has held at the same percentage, 94.2%, for the last 3 months. So we've got a historical flood of new apartments coming into the marketplace, and yet occupancy nationally is holding at 94.2%. So as apartment owners, we're looking at this like, man, we're getting punched with capital markets. We're getting punched in the other direction with the supply. You know, if you're an owner in the Sun Belt, then your rents are probably flat.
Or negative.
If you're an owner in the Midwest, you're doing a little bit better, statistically speaking. Midwest is getting more rent growth, but the Sun Belt is still getting the population growth much more than any other area of the U.S. So we see this, I'm like, okay, we're getting two haymakers right now coming at us, and we're absorbing. And what happens whenever those haymakers stop? What happens when the new supply stops flooding the market and you have the demand that you have now, but now you have less supply? Because here's what's taking place. The starts compared to the completed units, there's more completed units than starts this year. There's actually 60,000 more completed units than starts this year to date. That is the biggest difference since the 1970s. There's 59,200 more completed apartments than starts this year. And so you're about to see it just fall off a cliff, starting in about 12 months, because the new supply will continue to be leased up. But there will be a major undersupply of apartments because the high interest rates, the same thing that is hurting the operators right now, is going to exponentially help the operators in starting in about 12 months. Because talk to a developer. You know, I know you have an engineering background. You got a lot of developer buddies, I'm sure. Talk to a developer. What are they developing right now? Very rarely will you find that a developer's seeing that an apartment community is penciling. And so that's why I wanted to share this message about the macro level trend. Obviously, it depends on what's happening in the market, in the submarket, within 5 miles of the property. But this macro level trend is happening. And then you know, we can do with it what we want.
It's interesting to talk about that, because I think it is, as they talk about, real estate is so local, and, you know, we've got deals, and I know you've got deals all over the place. And I'm sure if you look at, you know, you pick any random deal, I'm sure it's going to have its, you know, bumps and warts and all that sort of good stuff, right? And, you know, part of the other equation is absorption, right? So do you have any data around absorption as you talk about the 200 and I just wrote it down, where was it? 284,000 units that have been delivered. One, how is the absorption going of those 284,000? Are we on track? And you may not know the data to that, but that's been a big concern for a lot of people, that as they talk about new supplies, like, how's it going to absorb? And from what I'm hearing from my brokers, particularly in like Phoenix and Austin, it's been scary in terms of the wave coming of those new supply. But it actually has surprised, to a lot of people, surprisingly kept up. The absorption has kept on pace. It hasn't been like too lopsided, like, oh, there's way too many. And like, we're seeing a little bit of that, but it's not like has been as big as everyone, the big scary monster in the closet that everyone thought it was going to be. I don't know if you've got any additional.
Well, yeah, I mean, absorption is it's getting leased up, right? Like, it's being absorbed. Like, yeah, people are living in it. And so the occupancy is 94.2%, and it's stayed there the last 3 months, despite all these apartments coming online. The owners, as you mentioned, when I said, you know, rents are flat or maybe negative, and you said maybe negative. Yeah, the owners are, and ourselves included, where at certain properties, certain markets, we're needing to either decrease rents or offer some concessions and make sure we maintain occupancy and have a healthy operations. But the customer base is there. It's just a matter of they have a lot of new options right now, and then there's a trickle down effect, right, that cascades down. So you know, I look at, you know, 94.2% with all these apartments and holding strong. I'm like, wow, what is going to happen when the new supply stops? When we go back to the 2024 now, the 24-year average. What do we, with 200, or I guess it'd be 23-year average, because this year it's 284. The 23-year average is 217,000 apartments for a full calendar year. What's going to happen?
Add to what you mentioned earlier, the lack of inventory that's hit the market because everyone's sort of been waiting. It's been this sort of perfect storm of new supply, cheap money, interest rates skyrocketed. Oh my gosh, everyone's panicking. Everyone's out of the pool. What the hell's happening? No one's transacting. So now let's bring it full circle. And one, with all that data and knowledge that you've got, how have you been looking at the market and what have you been assessing, given that there's been so much less transaction volume? And I will say, spoiler alert, the last 6 months, there's been a lot more transaction volume, at least I'm seeing, I'm sure you're seeing as well, Joe, than there was in probably the last 2 years prior to that, because it fell off a cliff. Like, I was looking at transaction volumes, it was down like, what, 70% across the nation in terms of multifamily last year. And it feels like this 6 months of 2024, there is a lot more activity. And I think that's got a lot more to do with a number of factors, but I want to hear what you guys are looking at and if you're seeing the transaction volume pick up in your markets that you're actively hunting in.
We're seeing transaction volume pick up. We're also seeing cap rates start to decrease in Class A. We looked at 7 properties. We were close, if not in, best and final on those properties. And the average cap rate that they transacted at was 4.86%. And these are,
wow,
you know, nice markets, nice properties. And that, you know, 12 to 18, well, about 12 months ago, if that would have sold, it'd be 5.5 or so, or you know, probably about 5.5. So we're already seeing the cap rates compressing on the high end product. And anecdotally, we've only purchased one or two properties in the last, call it, 12 months.
Yeah.
We are under contract and we'll be purchasing another property in about a month and a half. But yeah, it's pretty much, it was ground to a halt for a while because of what we talked about earlier. The sellers, the owners, like, well, all right, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And the buyer's like, wait a second, no, I where's my big discounted deal? I want it. Like, I want it right now. Like, what's going on? And, you know, it just hasn't happened because of the different strategies that the operators have used to make sure that they can extend out to a better time. Because the thing about supply and demand is that barring some black swan event, it will happen. We see it. It's not a projection on, oh, will someone get elected and then will it go, will the winds blow in our favor, or, you know, some sort of up to chance mechanism. You have to get a permit to build, and those permits are public information. And so you can see how many permits are being applied for and how many are being received, and what is the pipeline of new construction. You can see it, and you can see it, you know, it takes 18 months or so, right? Like maybe 24 months to from beginning to, okay, now it's stabilized, leased up, and we're doing something else with it, permanent financing or selling it. So, I mean, this is something, it's beautiful. You can see 18 months in the future of what will take place, barring some weird event. You can see it. And, you know, that's why I feel so strongly about making sure that we all are aware of what's going to take place so that we can prepare ourselves to, you know, either just, okay, watch it, or, you know, participate in it and benefit from it.
I will say, hey guys, this is a quick ad for our latest multifamily investment opportunity called the Avalon Apartments, located in Dallas, Texas, the fastest growing MSA in the nation. Now, rapid fire, here are the three reasons why we love this asset. Firstly, great investor returns of over 20% annualized. The second thing, of the 226 units, 30% have already been renovated and they're achieving a $250 rental premium. Now, our business plan is pretty simple. We'll come in and renovate the remaining 70% to achieve those proven rental levels, then rely on a modest 3% rent growth thereafter. It's very conservative, very straightforward, and the same thing we have been doing successfully for over a decade. Now, last thing, pricing for multifamily apartment properties have fallen more today than they did during the 2008 global financial crisis. This could very well be the best time in commercial real estate cycle to pick up cheap assets. If you're interested to find out more, click on the link below. Anecdotally, I've toured probably 10 properties in the last 2 months, and all in Central Texas. Well, not all in Central Texas. There've been some in Atlanta, some in Central Texas, some in Phoenix. And these sort of existing 80s vintage, 90s vintage product in good school districts, they're going to trade at or below the debt of what the person bought it for 2 or 3 years ago. I don't want to say that I don't wish that upon anyone. Right. And with the higher interest rates, there is come distress. I personally believe we are at the bottom of the market right now, and there's a great generational buying opportunity to be had. And I want to hear about your new deal that you've come across in Orlando. But just from my anecdotal experience, like, there is complete equity wipeout across multiple deals, and you don't get to see that on CoStar yet. You don't get to see that in the headlines. You get to see that by kicking the tires and getting on site and talking to the brokers. What's happening with this story? Tell me the story about this deal. And that is where you get the real data and why it's important to continue to underwrite, not put your pencils down, but also to continue to get out there and kick the tires and kick the babies, because that's how you're going to find out that real data in real time. And there are some great buying opportunities right now, and if you got your eyes open. So what I'm trying to get is keep those eyes open, because I think it's going to be an incredible buying opportunity in the next 6 to 18 months, and, you know, just keep your eyes open. So, Joe, I know you've got a current deal right now. How did that come about? You don't have to give us the name of it, or, you know, you don't have to. If there's any distress, you don't have to, you know, disclose it if you want to. But, you know, you're starting to be active again. So, how did that come about? Why do you like it? You know, what sort of cap rates are you buying it at? Is there any, you know, value reduction that it's happened over the last couple of years because of interest rates, expanding? Give us a sort of the shortened story of it.
Yeah, you know, we talked about supply and demand, and we talked about, as you know, I'm an LP on 123 deals right now.
Wow.
And so I think about it from a GP and LP standpoint. So as an LP, I think about, okay, I hear the supply demand that there's supply is going to be, you know, there's going to be underserved amount of apartments. I want to make sure I'm investing in something that is a microcosm of that macro level insight. And so with this deal in particular, the absorption is projected to outpace supply by 20.5% over the next 5 years.
Wow.
And so we're in a submarket that is a microcosm of what will likely take place. This deal, 2021 construction, 5.5 cap, beautiful property. The tenants on average make $115,000, 5 minutes from Disney. And the seller is selling because they have a loan that's maturing and they either need to do something with it. Are they going to do a capital call where they need to, you know, pay down the loan a little bit and refinance, or do they want to do pref equity, or do they just sell and, you know, return whatever they can return? And so that's what they're choosing to do. And we know the sellers. And so, you know, it is the prototypical deal that we would want in this period of time right now, because the property has been competing against three new developments, and those three new developments have been leasing up. And as you know, when properties lease up, they give concessions because they want to get out of the new construction loan into permanent financing. So they want to get out of Dodge as soon as possible from the new construction loan and get into nice, safe debt. So they offer concessions, and as a result, the surrounding communities, they got to compete with that. And it's tough to compete with a brand new development. Even in this case, it was 2021 construction ours that we're buying, but still you've got something, a shiny new object. And so as a result, the current owners of the property have had to offer concessions, lower rent a little bit so that they could keep up with these lease ups. Well, the lease ups are now about 70% done. And so we're in, you know, the sixth, seventh inning of being completed. And then after they're completed, well, there's major upside because then we do mark to market. The rents that the property currently has, well, they're not market rent because of what was happening in the past. But now we'll be able to bring it up to market rent. And so that's a big value add component to this deal. There's a lot of risk in the renovation approach when you do a deal relative to other aspects of a deal, because it's tough to renovate a property and there's a lot of components to it. With this one, the risk is mitigated because there's no renovation. We're just doing a mark to market increase. And, you know, we might do a tech package also to help with the rent bump. But there's a huge value add component with some mitigation of risk as a result of high quality the units are and just the mark to market.
How has that changed for you? Because I know you've been a value add investor over the years. Are you guys as a company looking to shift to that core plus new product given the story?
We're looking to capitalize on the opportunity that makes sense. And if we can get a value add deal that's 2021 construction at a 5.5 cap in an A+ school district, what we'll do. Yeah. That's what we'll do. Yeah. And if we can, you know, separately, if we find a 2000 or 1990 vintage and it's in a really good school district, and, you know, we can renovate 100% of the units, that's what we'll do too.
Yep. Well, Joe, look, I know I don't want to keep you forever, but, you know, what's your 12-month look ahead in your crystal ball? I know you mentioned, you know, the supply and the upcoming cliff. Any advice for people out there over the next 12 months in terms of what you guys are doing internally at Ashcroft to really pounce on the opportunity that you see right now?
I would say educate your investors about what's going to be taking place, and continue to expect to see the same type of headlines in the news publications about tons of supply hitting the market in multifamily for the next 12 months. 12 to 18 months from now, the story is going to start to shift. In 18 to 24 months, it's a completely different conversation.
I love it. I love it, my friend. Where can people reach you to continue the conversation? They want to hear about more where that deal is at, what you're doing with it. If you've got a live webinar, where do they go?
I can go to ashcroftcapital.com and current offerings, the tab current offerings, and you can look at Braxton, the deal, and talk to a team member of ours and watch a video on it.
Awesome stuff, man. Well, look, again, thank you so much for taking some time out of the day to share some just incredible insight. I just want to repeat some of the things that I took away from today's show. I think the ability to look at the new supply coming online and looking at 284,000 is what has happened today. And I think you mentioned a bit over 217,000 is average over the last 23 years in terms of new supply hitting the market. So it feels like we're in this deep hole because there's too much supply, but you got to have don't look just in front of you. Look, the forest between the trees. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and understanding what that means for your existing assets, one. And two, what does it mean for you buying opportunities, and how can you capitalize with the third thing laid on top, the distress in the debt market? And I think all those things coming together and really taking hold and a grasp of that to really guide your principles of investing moving forward, given the last 24 months, has been, I think, a really powerful message today. But do you want to add anything to that before we wrap?
Nailed it.
Well, mate, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to jump on the show. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up very, very soon.
Thanks, Reed. Thanks, everyone.
Well, there you have another cracking episode, jam-packed with incredible advice from Joe. Remember to head over to ashcroftcapital.com, click on the current offerings, and you'll find the new deal in Braxton and Florida if you're interested to check that out. We want to thank you all again for taking some time out of your day to tune in to continue to grow your financial IQ. If you do like the show, give it a review on iTunes. Give it a 5-star review. Share it with your friends. And we're going to do it all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.